Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 28th of May, recording at 2:20 p.m. British Standard Time. Now, I'm obviously recording a lot earlier than I usually do, and my own assessments on the comment of, in the comment of the day were shorter than usual because I am heading away for a long weekend, as I mentioned yesterday, taking Mrs. Fuller to the International Book Conference at Hay on Wye, where we also aim to do a fair amount of cycling. And I hope you have at least as much fun as we intend to have over that weekend period. So my next audio broadcast will be next Tuesday, the first of June. Now, the Friday's audio is always the long-term, big-picture outlook, as you know. So I'll start with global stock markets, and the most important point that I can make is to say that every shred of historic evidence would suggest that the U.S. stock market is in a secular bear trend, which I'll define here as a generation of contracting P/E ratios. Obviously not all in one move, but in a rolling sequence where the secular bear trend is punctuated by some very good medium-term rallies, which will last from 6 months to a year or so, and then be followed by ranging phases and sell-offs more often than not. And during this ongoing process, the market tends to bottom out at better valuations in terms of P/E ratios and yields each time. Now, it need not necessarily mean that markets go into a major downward trend overall, because, of course, economic growth can go a long way, does go a very long way, towards lowering the multiples and increasing the yields overall. But nevertheless, the best case outlook, I feel, would be a replay of what we saw, say, in the U.S. stock market, and you have to be of my generation, perhaps, to recall this, where we had a peak in the stock markets after a very, very good secular bull move upwards, and the peak came in the late 60s, sort of 1967, 1968, and then the Dow Jones Industrial Average just ranged sideways beneath the ceiling at about 1,025 on the average until we got into the early 1980s. Now, the worst type of secular bear is what we saw in Japan, where we had a sequence of lower highs and lower lows really carrying right on through until April 28th of last year for the main indices such as the Nikkei Stock Average and the Topix Index. Now, it would be nice if I could say, well, I don't think that's going to happen, as many U.S. institutional houses are saying, and indeed many European institutional houses. It would be nice if we could say, no, we're going to go into a sustained period of long-term bull markets. That's what a lot of people would actually wish for, but I'm not in the business to say anything other than what I actually believe is likely to be the case, and then monitor it on the charts in terms of quality control to see is that what's actually taking place, or are we diverging from that that trend overall. Now, it will not have escaped your attention that stock market indices have lost upward momentum this year, although they've been rallying and quite strongly in the last few days after the prior sell-off. We're basically in ranging patterns, although some markets have done a little bit worse, notably in Asia, where we've had a fair amount of the leadership. And my feeling is that we could see these rallies carry a little further next week, Possibly. In a very short-term basis, we've gone from oversold to somewhat overbought. Not extensively overbought, but the chart action has been generally firm. I'm resisting the temptation, continuing to resist the temptation to try to be clever by jumping in and shorting indices once again, which I hope to do at higher levels. And of course, as I say all the time, the market doesn't care what I hope to see. But the bottom line here, looking at these chart patterns, we have seen the most of the European and US indices push up into the middle of their trading ranges, and they could easily move a little bit higher within those patterns. So I'm inclined to hold off. And what I'd really like to see is a more overbought condition with indices getting closer to the quite important psychological resistance in the higher side of their ranges. And if that does happen, in all probability, we'd get, well, there'd be a reasonable chance, I should say, rather than in all probability, but there'd be a reasonable chance that we'd see a few of them push through to new high ground. But you will also notice, if you've looked at those charts over the last few months and weeks, and indeed I've posted so many of them on the site, that those new highs have not been sustained, and that would invite short selling, I feel. Certainly, that's what I would be interested in doing. Now, I've also maintained that the U.S. election cycle is extremely important, and that the election year is historically, as you know, the second most bullish year of the 4-year U.S. presidential election cycle. The most bullish year is the pre-presidential election year. That was last year, and indeed that was a bullish year. But the average gain of a little over 14% for a Republican incumbent whose party is likely to win the next election is greatly reduced if that incumbent looks like he's going to lose the election. And I think most of us would feel, most political commentators would agree, that the US election is really too close to call at this stage and may well hang on events yet to unfold, not least in Iraq. Now, the problem for the stock market and the US economy in 2005 and 2006, and it's not by just some statistical fluke that the first 2 years of the new US presidential election cycle are the most bearish for stock markets, is that both the administration, and this would be true whether President Bush is reelected or whether John Kerry wins the presidency for the Democrats, that there'll be a certain amount of house cleaning and tidying up, and therefore some of the strong spending that we've actually seen this year would not carry throughout the next year and into 2006. Also, we will have played out the best of the gains that we're likely to see from the tax cuts and so on. Now, there's a superb report by Gerald Minack and colleagues from ABN AMRO that I posted on the site today, talking about profits going forward. And I do urge those of you who are interested in stock markets, which would be the majority of you, to have a look at that report. I really do think it's quite excellent research. So, how do we actually play it here? Well, with caution, for sure. As you know, most of my longs are in Asia, and I've got a few golds which have had sort of a mediocre performance, the ones that I've still retained. I shouldn't be too hard on something like Newmont Mining, which is due for a major correction. But I've got a couple of when I've got one South African gold and a minor Australian gold. It's a shame, sort of mediocre performances overall, but I do feel that gold's in a secular bull market, and more on that a little later. But my equity position is one heck of a lot less than it was, say, at the beginning of the year, and I have some couple of high-yielding UK shares. These are small positions, been pared back somewhat. in recent months. And the other positions, I say, are mainly in Japan through my pension fund, although my Japanese position overall is much reduced. Thailand, somewhat reduced, though I added a little back on this setback before the more recent one, and India. I may hold on to those, although if they did well enough, which I don't expect in the short term, then I would certainly consider lightening positions there. But I've been saying for months now that one wanted to be lightening positions on rallies. And if this rally continues towards the top of the ranges, I will be for stock market indices, and my positions benefit accordingly. I will certainly be thinking of lightening further, in addition to putting on the shorts that I have previously mentioned. So again, of the three things stock markets can do, or any market can do, up, sideways, or down, I maintain that the odds of a significant move above this year's highs to date during the remainder of the year is low, although President Bush and Alan Greenspan might hope for that. And if I'm wrong, if I'm too cautious, that'll be one of the main reasons why it does actually occur. But my feeling remains that sideways ranging at best, with a not insignificant risk that we could see a bungee jump or two on the downside in excess of the last one that we saw from the highs, remains. Thus my bias towards shorting when I have the opportunity, but at the moment I'm more long than I am short, as you know. Okay, moving on to government bonds. Here also I maintain a secular bear market, commenced really from the end of the secular bull market, to which I would place firmly in June 2003, when we had that accelerating upward move. Remember, everybody was discounting real deflation. Some people were talking about depression. They were saying that the Fed would keep interest rates low in perpetuity, inflation would never rise again, so on. One of those extremes of sentiment. And we are, in my view, in a late stage of the overall top extension phase. Now, we did have that rebound from the August lows, which commenced exactly 2 weeks ago on the 14th of May, when we had an upside key day reversal on the US Treasury bond chart. And my view is that the Fed was in there buying, as they often do. They didn't want long-term interest rates to rise any further over the short term, and that triggered a rally, which I think owed a lot to short covering. I think the Fed was also quite concerned about the leveraged carry trade or yield curve play that people had, a number of financial institutions had, and did not want to see any accidents occur there. It's quite a reasonable action on the part of the Federal Reserve to do this. I know a number of people get into a high state of dudgeon whenever the Fed involves itself in markets and talk about interference and manipulation and so on. But remember, one of the Fed's briefs is to maintain orderly markets. So we did have that Fed buying, I feel quite certainly, and triggering a good rally, which there's no clear evidence that it's over, although we're getting some little bit of profit taking in here today. And incidentally, I think with many people taking off this afternoon, as I'm going to be doing, and with the UK bank holiday on Monday, and it's Memorial Day in the US, and while most of the US markets are open, it's quite likely that a good many people will be taking the longer weekend as well, and therefore it would not be at all surprising to see a little bit of profit taking and sort of book squaring in here today. And that's what we've seen, although the Asian markets generally followed Wall Street and Europe's rally yesterday. We have seen the European markets, for the most part, reverse modest earlier gains, and Wall Street, as I speak, is a little bit on the downside. Nothing significant going on here at the moment. So a little bit of profit taking in the bonds because they'd all rallied. So in other words, everything that has seen a decent move recently, I suspect, is susceptible to a little bit of profit taking today and perhaps carrying into Monday. Okay, but back to the big picture, long-term outlook. As I move on to, well, I'm just mentioning those bonds, just to wrap up on that. I have always noticed that there's a high degree of correlation here in terms of what most the bond markets do. Following that US lead, I would expect the Europeans to do that. It's just a matter of difference of percentage moves. Japan in the past has uncoupled from that, but with the Japanese economy recovering and with the deflation apparently on the way out in Japan, it's more likely to remain coupled now to what happens with the US bond market. So my comments in terms of secular bear market would apply to European government bonds, well, indeed, all government, Japan and Japan, all other government bonds. Now, so again, my strategy there will be I'd love to see the rally carry a little bit further, and then I'll start baby steps, shorting policy, scale up selling. Now, moving on to currencies. With currencies, we don't get the once-a-generation moves, or those are exceptionally rare, generational long moves, I should say, the way we can and so easily in stock markets, bonds, and commodities. The main reason, as I mentioned before, why we don't get such very long trends in the currency markets, although we will certainly get trends of a few to several years, is that no government wants, or no economy can stand a perpetually strong currency. So they do intervene and they create the conditions that will weaken the currency, mainly printing more of it. Now, the most interesting thing that's been taking place recently is that the dollar has been softening, and there is good technical evidence to suggest what's increasing. There's increasing technical evidence to suggest that the dollar's rally has peaked, although it's a tad firmer in here today. Again, the euro's rallied sharply against the dollar for the last few days, so a little profit taking occurring on Friday in line with the profit taking in other markets that I've already mentioned. But I would say that the odds have continued to improve that we have seen the end of the dollar's rally, and that the next move, therefore, is likely to be tests of the dollar's lows against a number, but not all, currencies, because a number of central banks around the world are very concerned about the prospect of the dollar weakening against their currencies, and so may well intervene in one form or another, as we've certainly seen the Japanese do on numerous occasions. But overall, then I think that take euro yen, that's one of the big ones, currently trading at 122.26. That's down 36 cents in here, but I think we're heading back up to the 129, 130 level, and probably a bit higher. And that would alarm the Bundesbank and the politicians in particular, and a number of exporters within Euroland. Sterling again also firming, good chance that it's going to go back up and test the 190 and a little bit above level. So I would look for that. I think I'd look for additional dollar softening in here. Those are, as I've said earlier on, those are playable trends, although currencies, it will not have escaped you, most of them are in overall ranging patterns, and I'm less inclined to participate when that's in the case. So if I were doing anything in here, though, right now, as I've said repeatedly over the last couple of weeks, I would have a short dollar position against things like the yen, against sterling, against the euro. But I don't have those positions, as I say, because of the overall ranging activity, and I don't play every I don't participate, rather, in every playable trade for obvious reasons. Moving on now to the supply and elasticity theme, which I think is hugely important and will remain so really for quite some time. Here also we're seeing some profit taking in here today. Some of the metals that had been running quite strongly recently, well, most of them have been steady, more than steady. For instance, gold, it's only down $0.50 in here today, but a little profit taking there. Palladium's fallen back a bit, it's down $7.30 as I speak. Platinum, that's had a good rally recently, that's down $16 as I speak. And looking at the LME base metals, although before I move on to that, I should mention silver. Silver's down 5 in here today. That's had a good rally recently. 5 is not enough, incidentally, to trigger my all 5 is not enough to trigger baby steps buying on my part. But if we get down, it's currently 6.15 on the July contract. If we get down closer to 6, I'll start nibbling in the September contract, as I have. As I have previously. Now, the LME base metals, for instance, tin, which has been one of the stellar performers in here recently, this is encountering profit taking today, down $75. And this process actually commenced yesterday. It's currently trading at 93.75. I still hold a position there, but it's protected with an in-the-money stop. As is my lead position, that commenced some profit taking yesterday. I think it got up to 68 on the 3 months position. It's currently 842. It's actually up 3 on the day, so it encountered profit taking yesterday afternoon. But again, I've got an in the money stop there, and I'm happy to hold that. Interestingly, copper is going against this trend here right now. September copper is trading at 127, up 140. That was my most recent purchase earlier in the week, and I've got that protected with an in-the-money stop after yesterday's very good gain. Now, certainly a weaker dollar would be quite bullish for these inelasticity plays, and for new subscribers, what I mean by that, of course, is that it's quite difficult for producers to increase supplies dramatically. And there's another factor as well, that consumers of these commodities have tended for most of the last two decades to operate on a just-in-time basis. In other words, they wouldn't buy until they until just before they needed the actual raw materials. So in other words, they weren't carrying inventory costs. And the fact that we had contangos, that's where the futures prices sell at premiums to the spot price, meant that the just-in-time policy made financial sense, not only because of the cost of holding inventories, but it was a cheaper way to do it because of the contangos. You buy the material that's available for immediate delivery. Well, for many of these industrial commodities, we have backwardations today, indicating that there are shortages. And that has prompted a number of the industrial consumers to rediscover the merits of inventory and building. Of course, if they build too much of an inventory, and at that the market can be vulnerable to a correction, or if the backwardation becomes too strong, the temptation to let some of that inventory go that you might not necessarily need immediately is very high indeed. And we get a fair amount of volatility in this sector. But you might have noticed that after the big move upwards, which were taking place all of last year, and many of them had started the year before, and then they peaked earlier this year, and we had some pretty riveting shakeouts, but they have all firmed up together and have been pushing up, with lead being, tin being the leader overall. That had the least shakeouts, the only one that didn't get a significant shakeout. But I remain very interested in this area. I'd rather play the metals than the shares because all sorts of things can go wrong with the shares, such as strikes, taxes, accidents, and so on. And to whatever extent that slows down production, that tends to be bullish for the underlying metal. So I tend to play these largely through the metals rather than the shares. Although that said, when you've had some big shakeouts, it pulls the in the sector it pulls the share prices back as well, and that's what we had seen in the last few months. So the shares are much more attractive today in terms of the supply and elasticity plays than they were, let's say, 3 months ago. And what else can I mention now? Let's talk about oil, because this has been very controversial. All sorts of views, a lot of people feeling that oil is going to go a whole lot higher, and just as big a group saying that no, oil is going to fall back quite sharply, and that it's well and truly overextended, and big buildup of speculative positions. And that there are a multiplicity of risks, from the Saudis increasing production, to the US actually halting purchases for its strategic reserves, or actually releasing some oil from those strategic reserves. Now, I've been of the view that unless the US did announce that change in policy, and it would much more likely be that they were going to, that they were satisfied with the level of their strategic reserves and were not going to add to them, that would be the factor most likely to trigger a significant correction. But there's no doubt that the prospect of this increase in oil from Saudi Arabia and some of the talk of a reaction has affected the market. And crude oil, NYME, spot crude, is at currently trading at $39.42. That's down just 2 cents in here today, but it's back below that psychologically important $40 level. Now, my view is that this is a consolidation, and I've said in recent weeks that oil was susceptible to a consolidation, but short of a change in U.S. strategic reserves policy, that I felt the big correction that a lot of people were talking about, and they were looking for, say, $10 to $15 off the high, which was at $42, that was less likely, and that it would take very little in the way of an accident to put the oil price considerably higher. And indeed, that remains the case, certainly today. In terms of tactics playing this, well, I've had some fortuitous trades in the petroleum contracts, as you know. This year, I'm probably going to get stopped out of my remaining natural gas position, which is protected with a very tight in the money stop, and that because I don't want to take risks because of the factors that could lead to a bigger reaction in here, as I've already mentioned. But needless to say, the softening in the oil price is favorable for stock markets and also bonds. And were it to continue, in other words, if we were to see a further reaction, let alone the $10 to $15 reaction that a number of people have been forecasting, then I wouldn't be surprised if the stock market indices didn't more than test the year's highs. And conversely, if we just get a small consolidation here, more in the $5 range or perhaps less, which is what I think is the greater possibility for crude oil, and then push back to the 42 level, let alone higher, that will be a very strong headwind for stock markets in direct proportion, and bonds in direct proportion to how high the move actually carries. Now, I also mentioned yesterday, which I just touch on again very, very briefly in here, that we saw most of the markets float upwards together. In other words, earlier in the year and last year, and then the beginning of this year, we were seeing bonds rallying. We were seeing stock markets certainly rallying. We were seeing very strong upward moves in the commodities, and people were talking, of course, quite rightly about the asset reflation play that had been one of the dominant investment and trading themes in the market. And then, as these trends became overextended and people started to write articles about getting a cascade type of sell-off where they all came back down together, and we certainly saw a bit of that take place. And now, in the last couple of weeks here, we've seen them moving up together. Now, I don't think they're going to move up to anywhere near the same extent that they did previously, and my money is back to the commodities feeling that we would get the better percentage gains there. But we're seeing a partial reflation of the asset play story. And with a lot of liquidity still in the system, with interest rates still quite low, with the Fed, there's been some quite dramatic evidence that the Fed had increased its money pumping activity recently. It's not all that surprising that should actually take place. But I think we need to think in terms of fairly choppy trends, and that would even include the supply inelasticity trades as well, because those that had seen the best performance on the upside, mainly the industrial metals and some of the precious metals such as platinum, had really damaged their overall upward trend sufficiently to suggest that highs for the medium term were in place. So in other words, you're in a more choppy environment overall. Therefore, I think we do want to be careful here. This is not a time for a lot of heroics in markets. And although I still have a fair number of positions, they're generally smaller than the positions I was putting on, quite a bit smaller than the positions I was putting on last year and at the beginning of this year. Now, one other thing to mention, I noticed that the number of people who receive the comment of the day, I think that I've completed my wrap-up here on these markets. Oh, except to mention one other thing for traders, orange juice. I've been talking about that for a while, and I don't think it's opened yet, but it was starting to show some upward dynamics and then fading. No, it's not open yet, but it did close up $1.30 yesterday, and having shown a little bit of loss of down momentum as a dirt cheap commodity. If I were staying here longer today, which I'm not, I'd be looking at that, and if it was able to put together two consecutive days on the upside, I might well consider a small speculative long in that commodity. And it is most definitely speculative. What it's got going for it is the fact that it's so stretched on the downside. Historically, very low. Does have a big contango, though. That's a major negative. And there's no shortage of orange juice around, but presumably most of that's already in the price. Enough said. But I was starting to say that I noticed that while the number of people who receive my public area comment of the day by email continues to climb every day, it's still below the number of subscribers that I have. And since you don't have to be a subscriber to get the public area comment of the day, that would suggest that a majority of subscribers, quite a substantial majority of subscribers perhaps, do not currently receive that daily email. So I'll just remind you that that facility is available on the website. You can sign up. So that what it actually means is that when I release the comment of the day, and I release the public area and the subscribers area comment of the day simultaneously, that can alert you to when it has been released, because you would receive the public area comment by email, and then a look at that would tell you whether you wanted to go into the subscribers area comment of the day, where I almost always have considerably more copy and assessments, although not today. I'm doing that in the audio for reasons already cited. Now, of course, if you don't want to receive that public area comment of the day by email, that's fine by me, but I just wanted to remind people that it was there should you wish to have that as a matter of convenience. And otherwise, have a fabulous weekend, and I'll be back at the desk on Tuesday, June 1st. All the best.